Close.
Well, what happened during, I got to studying it, and somewhere I had heard that there were these beings in black that appeared during the bubonic plague that were holding weapons. And I'm going, and I'm flipping Ezekiel open. I'm going, it's like repeat of history here. So in the 1500s in Brandenburg, there was like a dozen of these guys wearing black, carrying what looked like scythes, that were going through an oat field and swinging them around, making hissing noises. It said the people that heard it saw it, but no oats were being threshed. So they were doing something, and then a very pungent smell came up through the town, and people started getting the plague. Some of them died, and some of them didn't die. But over the period of 200 or 300 years, 40 million people died of the plague, after which we had the Renaissance period. But during the time of the height of the plague, people were seeing strange signs in the sky. Now, this isn't always understood, but people said there was one said that he saw a fiery beam burning, falling from heaven. Well, now we would look at it and call it a cigar-shaped UFO, because that's what they look like. They're kind of beam-like shaped, and they're glowing, and they change colors. And these are seen in Moscow and in Mexico City, and it's kind of an unusual sighting. They've seen them, I'm sure, here in the States. I don't know. I can't give you an actual example of that. I know they've been seen in Mexico because Jaime has footage of it he's given me. And they've also been seen in Russia. And they're called cigar UFOs because they're like long tubes sealed on both ends that are just floating in the sky. And they're huge. And they saw these apparently during the time of the plague, as well as other strange things. And there were earthquakes that they normally didn't have, and other things going on. And there was sexual promiscuity going on. I mean, this was like kind of what's happening today. I mean, now we've legalized homosexual marriage, and none of us really had a problem at all with our gay friends. You know, it's like, hey, how's it going? What's going on today? I mean, God loves them as much as he loves us, but when you all of a sudden make it into a law, then I have a problem with that, because it's like, well, not all of us want to be under that law. That's not I mean, if they have want to do that on their own, that's up to them. So I think that's kind of what happened during the time of the bubonic plague, because the church had this phrase, they called it free mind. And they basically anything goes. You could try any kind of sex you wanted. And they had naked women that were drawn around in ox carts through the town. I mean, weird stuff like that. I mean, we haven't seen that yet, but we have seen nudity, public nudity, especially in San Francisco.
Oh,
That's been
yeah.
documented more than once. And, of course, there's nude beaches and stuff, but I don't think much of that. I mean, just somebody wants to go skinny dipping, they ought to be able to do that, I suppose. But when it gets to be you're going to a restaurant to have something to eat and you walk in naked, I mean, that's a little weird. But that's actually what had occurred in San Francisco for a while. So we're mirroring the times of the bubonic plague. All the things that were happening then are happening now, except we have, I'm sure, tons more sightings of UFOs than they had then. That was a fairly isolated to Europe, Germany, England, those areas that suffered from the plague the most, had all these things happen to them. So I'm just looking at it as like history repeats itself. Interestingly enough, after everything's destroyed, there was the Renaissance, which is kind of the way the Bible says today there'll be this apocalyptic time, and then after that, there's 1,000 years of peace, and the world has changed.
Oh, wow. That's a really cool connection. I hadn't thought about
Yeah,
that.
the bubonic plague was like a dress rehearsal, I think, for the Renaissance.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Wow, yeah. We certainly serve an amazing God.
Yeah, we
So
mean some of my new age friends I feel are so close to wanting to know more. And the reason why they've gotten into that is because their churches are so bogus. They're not giving them the information that they need.
Yep, same here. That's what got me into it, too.
Yeah, and so they had to go into a different direction and still haven't found the answers that they want. I knew a lady also who was a nun in basically Asian religions. Mm-hmm. And she learned how to like leave her body and the whole deal. I said, what was that like? She said, oh, it was okay. But I said, well, did you have any big revelation ever? No.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly.
Did anything life-changing? No, not really.
Exactly.
And I'm going, wow. So there's, you know, what we're stumbling on here in Scripture is really life-changing.
Yeah, it is. And
it's opening up stuff you wouldn't be thinking about.
Yeah, that's cool that you bring that up, because I can relate to that as well. My area of New Age, I was really into astral projection and remote viewing. That was like, because since I was a kid, I dealt with what's called sleep paralysis. But
oh, right.
Yeah, it was like demonic attacks, you know, though. And they were, when these attacks would happen, sometimes there would be physical evidence left behind that there was something in the room that wasn't me, you know, that either something knocked over or something moved out of place that I didn't do, or, you know, there were these little things. But the church didn't, I never really felt comfortable. I told my mom about it, and she didn't really know what to do about it either, and because she was having similar things happen to her. And I never really felt comfortable talking to anybody in my church about it, because I knew, you know, I knew
about
I wasn't
sleep paralysis.
Yeah, because I believed that, and still do believe that they were demonic attacks. I think the actual sleep paralysis itself is a medical condition. I think that there's a medical reason, but I think that
I think there's two kinds.
Yeah, me too. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And but I knew that if I, in the church I was attending at that time, if I were to bring that up, most people would think that I was just having bad dreams or something, and I just knew it wouldn't. So I didn't know anything about spiritual warfare or anything like that, and I certainly wasn't getting any answers. And also, I was really prideful at the time, because I thought, well, I've been raised in church. I know everything that's important that's in the Bible, and there's no answers there.
Sure.
But I didn't know, you know, because we never really got into Old Testament stuff. We never really got into anything like that, so I really didn't know anything. So I had a friend at the time who suggested, she was into New Age, and she said, have you ever heard of astral projection? I said, no, what's that? And this was after I told her about some of the stuff that I was going through, because she was really receptive to it, and she believed me.
Yeah.
And so she said, well, astral projection is basically, you know, it's like a meditation technique where you can leave your body. If you're able to do this, maybe you can get away from these things or have some kind of defense or something. And so I was like, well, it's worth a shot, I guess. You know, I don't have anything else. So.
Did you try it?
Yeah, she gave me a book, and I practiced it for, it's this whole routine that you got to get into, and I practiced it for
meditation?
Yeah. I even became a vegetarian for this, because in the book it said that, like, if you don't eat meat, it helps. I don't know, but I worked on this whole thing for like 6 months, and finally, and I don't usually get into this because, you know, still I'm always kind of afraid that I won't be believed, but, you know, I know that you believe in this stuff too. But
I've heard it from so many other people.
Yeah, after 6 months, it finally did, like, happen. And, I mean, it was real, the first time was real brief, you know, it was only a few seconds, and I didn't have any control over where I was going, and nothing spectacular happened, but the only thing was, you know, I was living at a friend's house at the time, and, like, I went downstairs, and I was able to see who was there. And from my vantage point upstairs, like, I wouldn't have known, like, who was down there. So it was over in, like, 3 to 4 seconds, and I went downstairs once I was, like, you know, back in my body, and exactly what I saw, you know, out of my body was the exact setup down there. And I had been up in my room for hours, so there was no way that I would have known that. So over the next few years, I just kept it offered no help whatsoever for the sleep paralysis thing, because of the type of concentration and meditation that it takes. Like, there's
no
way.
Two different things.
Exactly. Yeah. And but by then, like, I can see now how the enemy hooked me in, because by then I was almost addicted to it. I wasn't getting any something like spiritual. There wasn't any big revelation, yeah. Nothing. It was just experience, and it was different, and it was, you know, kind of fun. But but for years I didn't see any entities or anything. Everything just pretty much looked how it does in normal waking life, except one time, and this was the last time that I ever did it, because this was when I was starting to realize this might not be a good idea. And this is interesting too, because it brings up what you're talking about, the interdimensional portals and the light. So every time that I had done this dumb thing, you know, I never saw anything spectacular. There was one time I thought I might have saw something in my kitchen, but it was so quick, I don't know. But so my wife and I, we had just gotten married, and I was still into all this New Age stuff, but I was dealing with a lot of spiritual attack, like more than ever before. And I wasn't putting two and two together that maybe it was because of the the stuff I was into. But so this one time I was meditating and stuff, left my body, and I went outside, and I saw something that, like, I never saw anything like this before. Like I lived in a trailer park at the time. The whole trailer park, there were all these, like, these entities. Some looked human, but some looked like strange creatures, and they were all heading towards, wow. Yeah, they were all heading towards this big, like, just opening. It looked like a wormhole, but, you know, bright. It was just bright white light, like you couldn't see. It was so bright you couldn't see through the other side, and they were all heading towards this thing.
Wow.
And yeah, and this was like, okay, this is weird. I've never seen anything like this before. And so there was a group of five or six or seven of them that were kind of close to me. So I went over there, and like, to me, it didn't really feel as spectacular as it probably sounds. Like, to me, it would be like if I were to go up to a group of people at the grocery store and start talking to them, or like, that's all it felt like. Like, it didn't feel like, you know, it didn't come across as spectacular as it probably should have at the time. But
what you're saying reminds me of the experience Danny and Brinkley had. I mean, he wrote a book, Saved by the Light, where he was hit by a thunderbolt through the phone, welded the nails in his shoes to the floor, and he was like clinically dead for like 30 minutes. And during that time, he had this experience. But one of the things he often says, and there's like a bit of a schism, I guess, between his views and Howard Storm's views of the near-death experience. And the only reason I bring this up is because what you're talking about, leaving your body and going to another place, is something that has become far more tangible to me after listening to these near-death stories. But basically, Danian says, there is no death. He just basically says, there is no death. You're either here or you're there.
Right.
And it's very much like what you're describing. People just don't believe, although I think more people are starting to believe that what you're saying is reality. Oh, and a few years ago, remember the organist by the name of Virgil Fox? He was an entertainer in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He played, like, all these huge organs. He traveled with a giant Rogers electronic organ, a huge four-manual one. And he did Bach and all sorts. And he had, like, diamond-studded shoes, and he'd dance on the pedals. And he was really an entertainer. He was really, really good. And he once, at one of his concerts, talked about that he was doing astral projection.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, here's, like, this guy who's a famous organist that is basically doing the same kind of deal. That was the first time I'd ever heard of it, because mm-hmm. that was a long, long time ago. But evidently, it's a real thing. I tend to believe you.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And it's not, you know, just for those watching, I don't recommend it. It about ruined my life. And I'll get into why. But
it's like opening a doorway.
Yeah, yeah. And what I learned was every time I did it, it was punching another hole through that other things could come in. Well, what had happened was so I went up to this group and I wanted to know what was going on. You know, who were all these people or entities, and what were they heading towards, and what was the whole deal? So I went up to them to ask, and they kind of, like, they kind of brushed the question off, but they were really interested in me. And they were like, you know, oh, Are you basically like one of us? Or are you from somewhere else? Or basically like what are you kind of? And they're real interested, really polite, and
they speak or what? I mean, these are people you saw in during your experience.
Yeah. This is when I'm out of my body. And
was it telepathic?
No, it was like they were actually talking. There
talking
wasn't.
To you.
Yeah, it wasn't any telepathic thing, but they were like talking just how you would normally. And and at first I wasn't put off by it at first, but I just thought, oh, they're really interested. And I said, no, I'm a normal human being. I'm astral projecting right now. And they're like, oh, okay. And then this is where it got weird, as if it wasn't weird already. One of them said, well, if you ever need help getting out of your body, you can ask us, while you're meditating, and we will help you. And that rubbed me the wrong way. Like, there was something that, even though
they have to ask for permission.
Yeah. Even though, like, they were being, like, from what I would perceive as really polite and really nice about it, and, just friends wanting to help, right? But there was just something that really didn't feel right about that. And so I was like, I don't know. I think I'm just going to go back now. And they're like, okay, see you some other time. I went back in my body. And then the next time, it was like 2 or 3 days later, I wanted to try it again just to see if I was going to see anything crazy like that again, because that was the first time I'd ever seen or had any interaction like that with something from over there. And I tried and I tried and I tried, and I just couldn't do it for some reason. I could not lift out of my body or anything. And then I had this like inner temptation / reminder about what they had said. And I mean, I was actually tempted, but
thinking of doing it.
Yeah. To like ask them for help. But I couldn't bring myself to do it. There was too much of my Christian upbringing that it was just too much like praying to demons. And I wasn't, at this time, I wasn't even thinking of them as demons, because they were nice, so I thought that maybe I didn't really think that they were like godly angels either. I thought that they might have just been something else that God might have created and not told us about, and maybe they were fine. I didn't really know what what to think
right
about it, but so I
would be concerned if they're asking for permission.
Yeah. So I didn't.
That's like the black-eyed kids.
Yeah. That was something that really struck me with that in, what was it, Watchers 5 or 6?
Yeah.
5, yeah. That
yeah
was something that really
that
struck
really
me.
That really happened to people.
Yeah. And it was kind of like that. Like, there had to be some sort of.